42. Eli stood by the plinth and tried not to focus on the enormous pistol aimed in his general direction. It had to be close to a foot long. The angular barrel had squared off ridges along the top, like the teeth of a gear. Harry leaned against him to keep weight off her leg. 15's trigger finger tensed.
"I'll consider 20 seconds of silence the end of your delaying tactic, which is in 6, 5, 4, 3.
"Wait," said Eli. "So we're just supposed to talk and make a case for you not to shoot us?"
"Yes," said the faceless man.
"That wasn't what I asked for," said Harry. "I requested safe passage."
"Which you will have," 15 said, "if certain conditions are met."
She glared at him.
"This is not how favors work."
"Mrs. Pritchard, I am only even considering this to honor the memory of Abraham Porter, a fine American and a veteran. If you prefer, we can skip directly to the execution."
"Okay," Eli blurted out. "You've got us. We came here to steal the dream." As one, the faceless men tensed. Harry shot him a look. Eli took a breath and tried to organize his thoughts.
"We used Zeke's badge."
"Zero,"
said 15.
"We used Zero's badge to gain access to your secure headquarters. We thought if we could get the dream, if we turned out to be the ones who stole it, then we could also return it. We could end all of this. We had good intentions. But the dream was already gone," he continued, waving his hand at the empty plinth. "So we couldn't steal it. We didn't do anything wrong."
"Regardless of the dream's location," said 15, "your intent was theft. You have entered the rotunda. The punishment is execution."
"Yeah, but why isn't—"
Eli counted off a few seconds. "Are we allowed to ask questions during this thing?"
"You are," 15 said. "I'm under no obligation to answer them."
"Okay then," Eli sighed. "If the dream isn't here, why do you have to kill us?"
"Because only the faceless men are allowed in the rotunda," said the fox-masked faceless man, "in order to keep the dream secure."
"But it isn't here."
"Irrelevant," said 15.
"More to the point," said Harry. "Why isn't it here? It's the early 20th century. The dream didn't vanish until the 60s.
"In fact, Mrs. Pritchard, it was 1898 when you and Mr. Teague entered the Founder's House."
"Then where's the dream? It should be."
"The main office exists outside the normal flow of time. It is always now here."
"Which now?" Eli asked.
"All of them."
Harry glanced at Eli.
"Is that why Sanders is different?"
"Because of its proximity to the dream," said 15 with a nod. "The town of Sanders exists outside the normal flow of history. As such, the town and its citizens are anomalies for us. They represent uncertainty."
"Citizens," said Eli.
"You mean me?"
"That's correct. Like all citizens of Sanders, you are an anomaly."
"It isn't that there's something weird about me, it's the whole town?"
"Sanders is, from a temporal point of view, the most important town in the country. Possibly in the entire world, if you consider the role of the United States on a global scale."
Eli's shoulder twinged where he'd been shot. Memories of the Boston bus station and fleeing the fork in the road swirled behind his eyes. Harry commenting how lucky. 15 made a tiny gesture with his pistol.
5 seconds. 4. 3.
"That's how I got away at the bus station," Eli said. "That's how Harry and I kept getting away."
He looked down at himself, over at her.
"That's why Zeke Zero didn't kill me. That's why you're all right up close to us now. You're uncertain. You can miss me."
The empty sockets of 15's mask stared at him.
If Zero was also an anomaly, said Harry, why did you take him?
Our recruitment criteria are not for public knowledge.
It was because of me, said Eli. He looked at Harry. I was traveling with you, so you were uncertain too. They were trying to even the odds, cancel out our advantage. But it didn't work, did it? Eli spat out the ideas as fast as they formed. Zeke just became an uncertain, faceless man. He was just as unpredictable to you as I was.
Very perceptive, Mr. Teague.
He's hurt, Eli said. Back in, what did you say, 1898? He was in a crash.
We are aware. The faceless men take care of our own.
Eli nodded and ran the paradox through his head again. Harry's gaze drifted to the empty plinth.
Is it possible that someone from Sanders took the dream?
No. We have searched the town extensively.
When?
15 said nothing. Oh, Christ, said Eli. Harry glanced at him.
What?
He looked at her, at the plinth, at 15.
I think I know where the dream is. Right where it is.
The faceless man tensed. The empty sockets of 15's mask bored into him. The huge pistol rose up and settled a few inches from Eli's chest.
Where is it?
Eli closed his eyes for a moment, studying the thin line of thoughts that had fallen together in his mind. He worked through the line, through the chain of events, to make sure he hadn't doomed Harry and himself.
It's complicated.
Mr. Teague, if this is an attempt to delay your filibuster...
No, no, he waved his hands. John Henry mentioned an idea to me that he thought we were running out of history because the dream was gone, that things were unraveling, getting eaten up. It's what first got me thinking. In programming, sometimes you have something called a recursive function. It's a function that calls itself, and it'll keep doing it again and again until it gets the answer it wants. But if the function isn't written right, it'll just keep calling itself forever. And it eventually eats up all the system memory and causes a stack overflow. The computer crashes.
15's head shifted to the left.
You believe the dream has created some kind of loop?
I think it's made a lot of them.
He looked at Harry.
Like how we stopped Zero. I knew the trees would stop his car because I'd already seen the car stopped when I was a kid, but it was only there to see because I'd already done it. The predestination paradox, said Harry.
Right. He looked at the faceless men again. As I understand it, the Founding Fathers created the dream, or had it created, in the 1770s, and it existed for the next 200 years or so as America grew and expanded.
Until it was stolen in 1963.
15 said.
We'll get to that, Eli said, waving away the interruption. The real point is, something else was going on in the United States for those 200 years, too.
Beneath the clear mask, 15's flesh rippled.
We were. Eli looked at her. Me and Harry. Harry and Christopher. John Henry. Alice Ramsey and Abraham Porter and Phoebe Fitzgerald. James and Monica and Theo. Everyone at Hourglass. All of the searchers. And all the faceless men. We were there, traveling back and forth looking for the dream.
Because it had vanished, said 15.
He nodded.
Right. But from a chronological point of view, we were there first. That's the nature of traveling in history,
said Harry.
Effect sometimes comes before cause, like hearing the train whistle in Independence.
Right, said Eli.
Exactly. So for 200 plus years, hundreds of searchers were looking for the dream.
He turned his attention back to 15.
Plus all of your people looking to get it back too. Maybe thousands of us, from a certain point of view, when you consider people overlapping as they travel to different periods. And based off what Harry's told me, what happens when a community of thousands of people want the same thing, when they all believe the same thing? What's the dream do?
The faceless man didn't move. Eli counted off 14 seconds before the masked head moved side to side.
No,
Harry said.
No,
echoed 15.
That's wrong.
I don't think so, said Eli. It all makes sense. No, it doesn't, Harry said.
It does, said Eli. Thousands of searchers looking for it. Hundreds of faceless men trying to get it back for hundreds of years, overlapping again and again and again. So finally, the dream makes what they want possible. His gaze fell on the empty slab of stone. It vanishes. It has to. So we can all search for it. 15 shook his head again.
Our sworn duty is to find it. It's the searcher's goal as well. If this was a mechanism of the dream, as you suggest, then it would have been found by now.
I don't think so, said Eli. Because the searchers all individually want to find it themselves. Each of them has their own ideas on how the search should end and which of them should find it.
The faceless men don't. Our one goal...
According to Harry, since you became one of the faceless men, your goal has been to wipe out the searchers. 15 said nothing. Eli took a breath and organized his remaining thoughts. Nobody knows how the dream was stolen, right? How somebody found your base, made it past all of you, and then back out with the dream.
We are investigating several possibilities.
I'm an anomaly, said Eli, and we had one of your badges. We didn't even get to the stairs before you spotted us. He gestured past 15 at the line of faceless men. We never would have made it back out.
Agreed.
So how did someone else do it? If we couldn't do it with those advantages, how did someone get all the way in here and back out without any of you seeing them?
Harry looked at the plinth, at the doors, at the faceless men.
It would be impossible.
It would be, Eli agreed. Nobody could have made it past all of the faceless men. It couldn't happen. Unless the dream stole itself.
No,
said 15. Eli shook his head.
If someone else had it, shouldn't we all see their influence somewhere else in the country? Shouldn't there be another slow town out there? One that's lagging behind history?
15 didn't respond.
If the dream vanished 30 years before I was born, why are we still seeing all of its effects here in Sanders?
Eli's gut churned. A bead of sweat ran down his back. The awful sense of a moment of truth loomed over him again.
There's only one place the dream can be, he told 15. It hid itself in the last place anyone would look.
He reached his hand out over the empty plinth. He couldn't quite reach the center without leaning, but he got pretty close. 2 feet of empty space stretched between his palm and the limestone plinth. Harry shuffled her feet to stay leaning against him.
You said it's always now here, right?
15 didn't move. The blank skin behind his mask didn't flinch.
So that either means the dream was never here, or...
Eli lowered his hand and set it on top of the dream.